Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
You know, it's interesting that what we already had planned to discuss today just fits so perfectly with kind of the thrust of today. You know, we're in the middle of a summer-long series that we called Summer Breakthrough. Because honestly, anytime you gather and someone delivers a message from God's Word aimed at you and your life, quite frankly, you should have a breakthrough every Sunday. Because God is always trying to do things in your life. And last week, I kind of began a little two-part discussion in the midst of our summer breakthrough just about really some observations that I've made about not even particularly our church, but Christianity in general. And I encourage you to make some halftime adjustments. We're at the halfway point of the year. And I believe if we make these adjustments, we can have a better second half than we did the first. And so last week, we kind of began this discussion with an observation I've made. And we talked about what we should do about it. The observation I've made is this. It's that the natural tendency among most Christians is to focus on learning. And it is. It's just a natural tendency among Christians is to crave knowledge, to seek knowledge, to do things that help us know more. But as we learned last week, even though this is the natural tendency, it's not what is best, right? What we learned last week is that even though the natural tendency among most Christians is to focus on learning, learning only has value if it changes how we are living. That all this knowledge, all the things we're gathering, all the Bible studies, the only value it has is if it actually changes the way we live our lives. What Jesus says last week is, if you know what he says and you don't put it into practice and you think that has value, you're fooling yourselves. That's what he said. That's what his brother James said. And they said, it's actually dangerous because you build this false hope, you build this false idea that there's value in just having the knowledge. The value comes from putting into practice what you've learned. And so I left you last week with a question that I hope you've been asking. And I hope you've been continuing to ask, especially in light of what's happened this week, in light of conversations you may have had, in light of things you may have seen on social media. Take all that we have talked about as a church and all that you have learned from God and all that you have learned as you've studied Jesus' life and ask this question. Is what I'm learning changing how I'm living? Are the things I'm learning impacting my behavior? And what I want to do today is I want to pick up right there. Because there's a very big reason why the things you're learning should impact your behavior. But it's not the reason you think. See, I know most of you, you're exceptional, right? You come to Wellspring, you're fantastic. But most people are really selfish. I know you're not. I know you're not, but most people are selfish, right? And it's okay. You're selfish. I'm selfish. Most people are selfish. We make decisions on a daily basis based on what we want. We make decisions on a daily basis based on what's going to make us happy. Most of us want to live in the best neighborhood possible that we can afford. That's supposed to be a joke because you can't afford to live in that neighborhood, but you just make it work. You know, most of us make decisions about what's going to be best for our family, what's going to be best for our kids, what's going to be best for us. We want the best career that's going to make us the most money. We want the best. We want it to be all about us, and that's just natural. That's human nature. That's how we were wired. It's how we are designed to think first of ourselves. Now, Jesus comes and says, hey, don't do that, but it's really funny because a lot of people bring that mentality to Christianity. I'd be willing to bet many of you in the room, I'm sure I did as well. I came to Christ at a very early age. But part of the reason I came to Christ, probably the biggest reason, was because at the time, I just didn't want to die and go to hell. That did not sound like a good option for me. Heaven sounded way better. You know, eternity with him and with my family, that sounded amazing. And for many of us, we find our way to Christianity because what we do is we realize it's what's best for us. It's in our best interest to become Christians. It's in our best interest to place our faith in a God who loves us completely and who knows the future and wants to guide us and lead us and has a plan for our life. It's in our best interest to say, hey, I can't fix my relationship with God, but Jesus, you did. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put my faith in you. It's in our best interest to obey God on a daily basis. because He wants the best for your life, and His will and His commands will protect you from making bad decisions. They'll lead you to freedom. I mean, there's all these really good reasons for ourselves that we should become Christians. But if we're not careful, here's what will happen. We will take the mentality of everything's about me. Everything revolves around me. You know, I've discovered that many of us, I'll say us, really live like we're the star of our own movie, right? And everybody else is just a supporting character. And when bad things happen, it's just so that the triumph can come later, right? Like, we literally, the world revolves around us. It's why you get so mad when that person cuts you off in traffic. It can't possibly be that they were distracted and they were busy. It's because they know you and hate your guts and want to destroy you. Right? That's just how we are wired. And what happens, what I believe happens, is we can bring that mentality to Christianity. And we can put our faith in Jesus with that mentality. And we can believe that the end-all, be-all of our faith is me. The entire goal, the entire reason Jesus came, the entire reason I should follow Him, the entire reason of all of it is me. It's so I get better. It's so that I have more. It's so that my life is perfect, ultimately. We do it for ourselves. Now, here's the problem with that. That's a very small picture. That's a very selfish goal. I mean, don't think about it that way, but it is. And so what I want to do today, kind of the second half adjustment that I hope we can make, is I would like, to the best of my ability, to present to you a bigger picture. To present to you a broader picture. Present to you what I would say is a better picture. Because it is much more accurate. Because this picture is Jesus' picture for us. And His plan for us. And yes, His plan is to come and give us the best life possible. Of course that's His plan. But that's where it ends. We've missed out on the very best God has to offer for each and every one of us. Now, the reason I believe that is because it's what Jesus says. And He doesn't just say it in an offhanded way. It's what Jesus says when He's gathered His followers together and He is delivering His final instructions before He leaves earth. This is after He has died. This is after He has been resurrected. He then spends about 40 more days with His followers. Then He gathers them all around. He delivers this last word, and then He ascends back into heaven. That's what we're told. He ascends back into heaven. He had on a robe. I don't know how they handled that, but He ascends back into heaven. I guess they looked until they didn't look, and then they just stopped. Don't know what happened there. But Jesus, He assembles His followers, right? And make no mistake, what He says at the very beginning makes clear this is important. You can't miss this. You can't forget this. You have to apply what I'm talking about and what He says. What He says. If you think the end-all, be-all of me coming to rescue humanity is you, you are missing the boat. Because the picture is so much bigger and better that. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew is the first chapter we have in the New Testament. Matthew was a follower of Jesus, and he writes a biography of Jesus' life. And in Matthew chapter 28, he records this event. He records a story. And here's what he says. He starts this way. Matthew 28 says, Jesus came and told His disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. He's reminding them He's in charge. You know when you remind people you're in charge? When you're going to tell them to do something they're not sure they want to do. You know when you remind your kids you're in charge? When they're disobeying. You get down and say, I'm the boss and you're not. And they say, we'll see about that. But now Jesus is saying, hey guys, I know a lot's gone on. I know you have seen me for 3 years. I know you've had your questions. I know you've had your doubts. You've seen me die. You've seen me come back to life. I've told you I'm the Messiah, but I know you're confused, so let me make it clear. I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. I am God. I speak for God the Father and myself. We are one. We are the same. I am God. Everything you have seen is true. Everything you've experienced is real. You can take it to the bank. You can build your life on it. You can have faith in it because I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. I am completely and totally in charge. And then he says this word. Therefore, because I'm in charge, because of what you've experienced, because of what you've seen and what you've heard, and because of the changes happened in your life, because I am God, because that is true, go. Do something. He didn't say, because I'm God, learn more. He didn't say, because I'm God, get together and talk about it. He said, because I am who I say I am, because of what you've seen and heard, because you know I am the answer. I am the source of life. I am what the world needs. Because of that, because you know it to be true, I want you to go. I want you to do something. I want you to take what you've learned and put it into action. What does he want them to do? He wants them to go and make disciples. They were disciples. They were followers. See, to be a disciple of someone, you have to just not hear something, you have to do something. A disciple is someone who is a follower. A disciple is someone who says, I'm going to change the way I'm living, and I'm going to try to live more the way you say I should live. I'm going to follow you. In fact, that was Jesus' invitation to the 12 disciples. He would go to them. He didn't say, hey, come learn from me. He didn't say, hey, come listen to me. He didn't even say, hey, come see the cool things I'm going to do. He said, hey, come follow me. Come watch me. Come learn from me. Come mimic me. Come allow me to train you to become the person that God wants you to be. So now think about this. Jesus is leaving. He's delivering his final instructions. Parents, the way you do when you leave your kids with a babysitter. We all do it. You give the babysitter the instructions, then you give your kids one little more quick stink eye and say, better behave. And then you leave. And depending on how they've been that day, maybe your voice gets a little lower, maybe you get a little further down. Say, you behave. I'll know what you did. But those final instructions are important. You don't talk about things coming up next week in the final instructions. You don't talk about things that happened last month. You tell them in that moment, here's what you need to know because I'm leaving and you need to know this. What did Jesus say? Here's what you need to know because I'm leaving. Because I'm in charge, I want you to go. And I want you to go and I want you to make disciples. I want you to go and I want you to do for other people what I've done for you. What he's really saying is, it's all in your hands, church. God's great cosmic plan for rescuing humanity was to move through you and to move through me. And what he's inviting us to do in this moment is to live a life that actually follows him. To live a life where we listen and obey him when he gives us commands. To live a life that is based on the fact that he rescued us. And that is based on the fact that he knows more than us. And so he's inviting us to live that life, to put into practice what we are learning. Because here's what he knows going to happen. If you actually behave like Jesus, people are going to notice. They are going to notice that your marriage is healthier than their marriage. They are going to notice that your family is healthier than their family. They're going to notice that you have more peace and satisfaction and contentment in your life. And they're going to ask a question, man, what's up with you? And that's when we get the opportunity to do what Jesus says. We get to make disciples. But let me be clear. We don't just get to make disciples of who we like. Jesus didn't say, therefore, go and make disciples of everybody who's going to vote like you. He didn't say, go and make disciples of everybody who's going to vote for Hillary. Go and make disciples of everybody who's going to vote for Trump. Go and make disciples of everybody who's pro Black Lives Matter. Go and make disciples of everybody who's pro Blue Lives Matter. Go and make disciples. He didn't say that. He says this. He says, therefore, go and make disciples, who? Of all the nations. All the nations. You can clap for that. Let me be clear. Jesus did not disqualify anyone. Neither can his church. He didn't disqualify. He said, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples of all the nations. That means people you like. That means people you don't like. That means people you agree with. That means people you don't agree with. That means people who don't like you. That means people who wish you harm. He says, go and make disciples of all the nations. That means we as a people don't get to disqualify anyone. Because Jesus didn't disqualify anyone. In fact, he qualifies everyone. He says they're all worthy because I died for them. And it's your job as my son or my daughter to do everything in your power to make disciples, to talk to them and to share with them who I am and what I've done. Now, Jesus actually gives us a strategy for this. He didn't just say, go do what he tells us how. First thing he says is, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. He says, we should baptize them. You know what we baptize here at Wellspring? Because Jesus said so. He says, we should baptize them. That is the first step. That is the introduction to Christianity. For new Christians, for people who are new to their faith, it's your first opportunity to obey, to do something you're not 100% sure why you're doing. But Jesus says to do it, so it's a chance for you to build your faith and to be baptized. And it's why we baptize. If you haven't signed up already, we have a baptism coming up on August 21st. It is our yearly beach baptism, which I'm told everybody wants to do. So let's go, because what Jesus said is get baptized in the ocean. It's not what he said. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. He didn't say that. Some of you think he did. Some of you think he did. He just said get baptized. But that's not where it ends, right? This is the confusion we have. That's not where it is. That's where it begins. We begin with baptism. Then he says this. Here's what Jesus says. Then he says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. See, it's a process. He says, teach them to obey. And you know how we teach them to obey? It's not by yelling. It's not by pointing. It's by sharing how obedience has changed our life. And as we share how obeying God has changed our life, it makes the idea of following God more compelling and more engaging and more inviting. And what Jesus is saying is that's not just my job, that's everybody's job. It's everybody's job to go and make disciples. Some of you want to press, whoa, Hoss, you're the pastor. That's your job. I'll just show up. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus' command is to all of his followers. And to all of his followers, he says, hey, go and make new followers. Go and make disciples. Baptize them, but teach them. Teach them how to follow me. And he knew you'd be overwhelmed by that. He knew you'd want to push back. He knew his followers in the moment wanted to push back. So he made them this promise. He says this, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He's saying, I know what I'm asking is a big deal. I know many of you don't feel qualified for this. It's okay, because I am going to be with you. I am going to walk with you. I am going to guide you into these situations, into these moments. All I need you to do is to follow me, and when given opportunities, talk to others about why you follow me and about how following me has changed your life. Because here's what I want to do. It's what Jesus is saying. I want to move through you. I want to radically transform you. I want to give you the best life possible so that other people who are dying and going to hell will be drawn to me and their lives will be changed as well. See, it doesn't stop with you. There's a bigger picture. And the bigger picture, and I don't say this lightly, the bigger picture is that our Heavenly Father has decided to move through you to change the world. Now, are you personally going to change the whole world? Probably not. But God can use you to change someone's world. Some of you are here today because God moved through someone else to change your world. And see, it's not as hard as we make it sound. I'm not saying you have to go out there with a Bible lesson and just like knock them out. What I'm talking about is as simple as at work, in your neighborhood, when you're having conversations, share what God is doing in your life. Share what you're learning. We make it real easy here at Wellspring. Most weeks I preach a sermon. It's not even Baptist. We don't even have 3 points. We have one. I talk for 30 minutes and I give you one thing to do. One. Just one thing. One bottom line. One statement. You know you can make disciples? By not only putting that into practice, but then talking to your friends about how you're putting it into practice. Share what you've learned here. Share what you're learning as you read the Bible on your own. Share what you're learning about. Be open about it. See that God is changing you not just for yourself, but He is changing you for a bigger and better and greater purpose because He wants to use that change to make more and more and more disciples. And the only way that's going to happen, the only way you're going to actually begin to make this adjustment is to reassess the way you view success. And to shift your thinking when it comes to what the end-all, be-all is of your faith. Because here's what I know. Success isn't measured by what we know. And it's not measured by what we show. Success isn't measured by our knowledge. And success isn't really even measured by how good a Christian we are. By how much our life has changed. That's what Jesus says. Jesus didn't say, go and be a disciple. He said, go and make disciples. He assumed you'd be a disciple. Why would you not? It's in your best personal interest to be a disciple. That's easy. He didn't say, go and be a disciple. He said, go and make disciples. So success isn't measured by what we know. It's not even measured by what we show. Eternal success is measured by who we grow. Now just think about that for a minute. How does that change your approach to life? How does that change your approach to handling when things happen that happen like this week? How does that change your approach on social media? How does that change your approach when you're talking with your friends and your family and your neighbors and your coworkers? How does it change your approach to reevaluate success? Success isn't about what I know. Success isn't about what I show. Eternal success is measured by who we grow. You know how you grow someone else? You have influence in their life. The most valuable asset God has given you is your influence. It's your ability to influence the people in your circle, to influence your spouse, to influence your boss, to influence your coworkers, to influence your children, to influence your circle. And what Jesus is saying is, I gave you that influence for a reason, to point people to me, to make disciples. That's why you have influence. So church, I say it with love in my heart, stop wasting your influence. Stop picking sides on social media to make a point because you're forfeiting your ability to make a difference. And what Jesus says is that our success isn't measured by what we know. Our success isn't measured by what we show. It isn't measured by who we can impress. It isn't measured by how well we can articulate our point. It isn't measured by how strongly we can advocate our position. It isn't measured by how many people we can find who agree with our position. Eternal success is measured by who we grow. Who is God moving through us to have influence on, to change their life. And here's what matters. This is the plan. There is no backup. 2,000 years ago, Jesus decided, this is my strategy. These are my people. I believe in them. Let's go. So, if we want to get this right, if we want to be people who can step into the darkness, if we want to be people who can step into the tragedy, we have to embrace the idea that success isn't measured by what we know. It's not measured by what we show. Eternal success is measured by who we grow. Where is our influence being felt to draw people to Jesus? Now, see, we think this is important here at Wellspring. So important that one of our core values revolves around this statement. One of our core values is that we believe that we are rescued people who rescue people. And that's a loaded statement. The reason we say we're rescued people is because it reminds us every day that we don't deserve it, that we did nothing to earn it. We didn't achieve it. We were rescued. We were rescued. And as Jesus says, it's now our job to go rescue people. It's not our job to criticize their swimming. It's not our job to try to teach them. Notice he said baptize and then teach. That's because baptism is usually the very first step. We got to stop trying to teach people to follow Jesus and to teach people to obey Jesus before they've fallen in love with Jesus. It doesn't work that way. We have to be people that model Jesus, that they are drawn to Jesus, that we use our influence to lead them to Jesus, and then we use our influence to show them how they should follow Jesus with their life. It's the very same thing that's happened in your life. And I believe it is God's calling on every single person at Wellspring Church. If you're here today and you don't believe in Jesus, our prayer is one day you will, and then this is your job too. It's on all of us. And we try to make it so easy for you here at Wellspring. We talk all the time about how circles are better than rows. A circle, a serving circle, a small group circle is the best place to put this into practice. Because in our circle, you're going to have somebody who's been a Christian longer than you have, who's a little farther along in their journey. And guess what? They get to use their influence to help you know how to follow better. And there's going to be somebody in that circle who's not as far along as you are in your journey. And they're going to be going through a struggle. And you're going to be able to say, hey, you know what, man? Just about 6 months ago, that happened to me. I was right there. And I prayed. I found these Bible verses. This is how God helped me through this. And I believe God can help you through the very same thing. Guess what, folks? That's discipling. That's making disciples. That sharing what God is doing in you, how God is moving in you, and passing that on to people who need it. Our family ministries here at Wellspring are the greatest places in the world to put this into practice. Are you really telling me none of the adults in this room have any lessons that you think our students could benefit from? No truths that you've learned the hard way that a 15-year-old or a 16-year-old couldn't benefit from saying, oh, that's what happened. Oh, okay. Well, thank you for sharing that with me. I'm going to go try to get that image out of my head, but thank you. Now, see, if you think it all ends with you, if you think the end-all, be-all of Christianity is just me, well, then you have no desire to pass it on. You don't look for avenues to pass it on. It's not part of the process. But Jesus didn't give us that option. Jesus says it's not part of the process. It is the process. You've got to pass on what you are learning. So let me talk about is what I'm learning, changing how I'm living. Some of you need to sign up today to work with our students. Some of you need to sign up today to work with our kids. And if you are true saints, some of you need to sign up to work with our preschool. There's a special place in heaven for preschool workers. I won't be there. But if you are a member of this, if you're a part of this church, you have no excuse for not playing this role because we make it so easy to give back. We make it so easy to share what God is doing in your life. And I know some of you are like, Trey, you don't get it. I don't feel equipped. I don't feel adequate. I don't feel prepared to do those things. Good. You shouldn't. That's why Jesus said, I'll be with you always. If you didn't need him with you, he wouldn't have said it. If somebody comes to me and says, hey, you need me working with students because I got all the answers, they ain't working with students. Because that's not how it works. There is a cliche that I have heard my entire life growing up, and I almost hesitate to say it, but there's a reason it's good and it works. Especially when it comes to this situation and what you can share with people who are trying to follow God. God is far more interested in your availability than he is in your ability. He doesn't need you to be able. He needs you to be available. Here I am, God, use me. Here I am, God, you're changing my life. Just point me where to go. Who can I share you with? Who can I talk about you with, God? Just put me there. Here I am, God, send me. I tell you right now, you tell God today, here I am, he'll give you an opportunity tomorrow. And guess what? He'll be with you always. So there is nothing to fear. So, who can you grow? Who is in your sphere of influence right now that's having a struggle that you've been through and you can speak into their moment? Who do you know that you need to lean into a little harder and invite them to come be a part of what God's doing here? Who do you know who's struggling and you kind of want to say, I told you so, but you're not because you're going to remember that Jesus doesn't do that. And you're going to run to them and say, hey, I'm so sorry. Let me walk with you through this. Let me fulfill the reason I was created. Because what I'm learning is it's not about me. It's about what God can do through me. What would happen? What would happen in your life if you embrace this truth? The success isn't measured by what we know or what we show. That eternal success is measured by who we grow. Here's the good news. You can change it right now. You can put this into practice. You can sign up to be a part of our family ministries. You can join a circle. You can just make an effort at work, in your neighborhood. Who are you growing? That's the bigger, better picture. God puts you on this earth, not just for you, but to move through you, to change the world around you. And all he needs is for you to be available and say, yes, God, I'm not afraid. Use me. And Wellspring, I'm telling you, we get this right, Myrtle Beach will never be the same. Let me pray for you. Father God, we just love you so much. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your comfort. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your example. We beg in this moment that we will be people who follow you. That we will make as our chief aim, not our own personal Christianity, not our own personal following, but that our chief goal will be to follow you so that you can use us to lead others to follow you. May we be known and may we celebrate not what we know and not what we show. May we celebrate who we grow, Father, because that was your plan and we want your absolute best for our lives. Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.